Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy Brim's back with us with some more prophetic words. Really, really interesting.
If you're interested in when Jesus is coming.
I want to know.
And remember we said yesterday that Jesus told us we want to know when He's coming. He gave some signs.
Yes.
He said, you watch the fig tree. That's Israel. And you watch the other trees. This is from Luke 21:15, I think. You watch the other trees. So those are Bible prophecies.
Nations. The trees are nations.
The trees are nations. And the only way you can watch them is by looking in the Bible. And Jesus said, when you see them shoot forth into the prophetic place, then you know I'm coming to set up my kingdom.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus. So He told us, of course, the Bible's filled with Israel and the things that are going to happen to Israel. But He also said, watch the other nations. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do this week, we're going to watch another nation. We're going to zero in on one of the ones that's been in the Bible the longest time and connect the dots for you.
Oh, that'll be good.
Now, I just didn't know all this business about connecting the dots until God gave me a supernatural assignment. As you know, I was editor of publications for Brother Kenneth E. Hagin in the years from 1970 to 1980. And in 1980, I was called to go out and preach the gospel. Brother Hagin ordained me, and I quit, and I was going to start traveling full time. In my kitchen, we had a big old house to raise our four children. We had a great big old country kitchen. And in my kitchen was a yellow telephone. I can just see it hanging on the wall, and it had a long cord. Remember, we had to have cords. And we'd take this cord into the living room or wherever else, you know, and then it'd get all, you could fall and tangled up in it.
Yeah.
So that phone rang. My husband, Ken, is sitting over the table. This loud voice says, can you do a book in a week? Ken can hear it clear over at the table. He said, this is Lester Sumrall. I said, Brother Sumrall, nobody can do a book in a week. He said, you can if you work night and day.
That sounds like Lester.
That's Lester, all right. He said, this is jihad, and nobody knows it, and they need to know what's going on. And he said, Nelson wants to take several months to do the book, and they've got to know right now. So my husband's over at the table going, no. And I find myself saying, he said, I want you to come up here, and we'll work on it night and day, and we'll get it done. So
that sounds just like.
So I said, yeah. I said, okay, I'll come. So I flew up to South Bend, Indiana, where he was, and had his great church there. And he literally, I got 4 hours sleep a night. And he wasn't like Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin just had, you know, everything on a cassette, and you all typed off, and you just edited it. No, he had manila folders. He had newspaper articles. He had magazine articles. And then he had some of his own cassette tapes and things. So we got a book in 3 weeks. Not 1 week, but 3 weeks, and we got it into print. That was in July 1980, and we got it into print. He printed himself in order to get it done. Now, here's what was going on that Brother Hagin Copeland, here's what was going on that he had said the world didn't know what it was, and he knew what it was. It was the Iran hostage crisis. Mm-hmm. On November 4th, 1979, a group of Iranian students stormed the United States Embassy in Tehran, capital of Iran, and took more than 60 American hostages. This was during President Jimmy Carter's administration. Now, this happened in November. What had happened in February was the whole regime of the Shah in Iran had been overthrown, and it was taken over by the radical Muslim Ayatollah Khomeini. Now, we're going to talk about that later when we get into Iran's present and we get into their future. But for right now, you just know that it was taken over. The Shah was toppled in February. And now down in November, these radical student revolutionaries want to break with Iran's past with the Shah and America. And so they break into the United States Embassy in Tehran and they capture 60 American diplomats, people from the embassy. And they hold them for 444 days.
And that was started
in 1979. Started in 1979, November 1979. They held them for 444 days, which that would be 1 year and 79 days they held them. I was reading about this, you know, preparing for the broadcast. It was terrible what they did to those people, how they humiliated them, how they treated these diplomats. And they were not released until the day that Ronald Reagan was installed as president. So here it is. That happened in November 1979.
Why did they do it then? Were they?
They wanted to show, they didn't like, they wanted to show we're breaking with Iran's past. Iran has been going around with the West, kind of, you know, they've been in the West. They've been courting the United States and Britain, the Shah, and we don't like that. We want to go back to radical Islam.
They might have been a little bit uneasy about what Ronald Reagan would do, too.
Well, they got uneasy about it. Now, we're going to talk about that later.
Oh, okay.
They got uneasy about it, and they let it go the day he was inaugurated.
He was the strong man.
And this book had something to do with it, which I'll tell you about that later.
Oh, good. Okay.
But so he called me up there, and we did the book.
In a week?
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
And it's The Destiny of Iran and the Muslim World. And he traced Iran's history all through the Bible and then over into prophecy that's coming about Islam.
And this is my copy, I see.
Well, this one's kind of torn up. You might want to get another one. But bless the Lord, a lot that I learned, you know, he knew about jihad. He knew what it was. You're going to find out that he knew what they would do in London, how they would take over a certain park there. Brother Summerall knew it. How did he know it? He knew it from studying. He knew it from studying Bible prophecy. And so I went up and did the book, and that's where I learned so much about Islam, learned so much about jihad, which is a holy war, and learned to study this Iran in the light of Bible prophecy.
That's
so
good.
That's what we're going to do. And today we're going to talk about Iran and ancient land. Remember that Jesus said, watch them. You can't watch them anywhere but the pages of the Bible. So we're going to watch them from their beginning, which is Genesis.
Good.
Iran was called Persia or Elam until 1935. First it was Elam, then Persia, until 1935 when it was renamed Iran by a Shah who was then ruling. But it has a 4,000 years of recorded and known history. The story of Iran in the Bible begins with Noah's grandson. But let's go back further than Noah. Let's go back to the beginning of man. Adam walked and talked with God. That was 6,000 years ago. We showed you the days of the 6,000 years plus one. We showed the timeline. So 6,000 years ago, it's been 6,000 years since Adam. We're right to the end of the 6,000 years. And Adam walked and talked with God. And there was a 2,000-year period, which is called the years of chaos. And even though Noah knew God, then something had happened in these 2,000 years since Adam, down to... Well, we're going to get on down to Noah. When we get down to Noah, only one family had knowledge of God. Adam knew God. He walked and talked with God. But 10 generations later, not 10 generations, it's 10 generations to Abraham, but on down to Noah's time, it got to the point where only one family had a knowledge of God. Now, in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 12, and I'm going to read this from the Art Scrolls translation.
Where are you on our list?
I'm on page 1.
Oh, that's
down
where I
here
was.
At the bottom.
Okay.
And I'm reading to you from the Art Scrolls translation of the Chumash. Chumash means first five books of the Bible, and it's a translation that Hebrew speakers translated it. So here's how they translated it. Now they don't say Jehovah. Our Bible doesn't either. It uses capital LORD, but they say Hashem. Shem is name, and they say Ha-Shem, the name. So when I say Hashem, they're going to be calling him the name, but it's the same as we would say Jehovah. The Art Scrolls, chapter 6, Genesis, verse 5. Hashem saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every product of the thoughts of his heart was but evil always. Mm-hmm. And Hashem said, I will blot out man, whom I created from the face of the earth, But Noah found grace in the eyes of Hashem.
We should be very grateful to Noah.
Down to verse 9. Mm-mm-mm. These are the offspring of Noah. This is verse 9. Noah was a righteous man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Mm-mm. Noah had begotten three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth had become corrupt before God, semicolon, and the earth had become filled with robbery. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupted, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. In their comments, they say even the animals had cohabited with each other and crossed and mixed the lines, and man's evil had affected all of creation. But now I want to, these comments, Gloria, and I want you to talk about them a little bit with me. These are comments from the Chumash, and they say that verse 11 shows a progression in sin. And I think we can see it.
Had become.
Yeah.
Earth had become.
Now, earth had become corrupt before God, then a semicolon, and the earth had become filled with robbery. So their comments say, in the Chumash, the behavior of people deteriorated. At first they were corrupt, guilty of immorality and idolatry, and they sinned covertly before God. Only God saw their sin. But then, later, the earth became filled with robbery, which was obvious to all. The entire earth was corrupted. At first, only God saw. They sinned in their closets. They sinned, you know, secretly. Mm-hmm. Nobody watching us. But then they got so overtaken by sin, it was corrupted, and the whole earth saw it.
What is that in Hebrew? What all does that word robbery say?
It has to do with robbery, but its main focus is everybody can see what they're doing. Everybody can see all of this sin that they're into. And it eventually robbed the earth of its righteousness. Now, such is the progression of sin. This is right here what I wanted us to think about. It begins in private, when people still have a sense of right and wrong. Yeah. They still have a sense of it. That's why they're hiding it. But once people develop the habit of sinning, they gradually lose their shame.
Isn't that the truth?
And immoral behavior becomes accepted, even the required norm.
Mm-mm-mm.
Now, this was written by Hebrew scholars a long time ago, and it's from the Bible. But isn't that what's happened today?
Yeah.
I mean, it just, come to the fore, and it has become accepted, and look at this line, Gloria, even the required norm. Now it's required of you. This is what we would call PC, politically correct. Sin has become politically correct.
That's true.
And if you don't accept it,
you're weird.
And this is the required norm.
And we're weird.
Yeah. But look what it got them into. When it came to that, sin filled the earth, in other words, and the whole earth became corrupt because of it, then it brought the judgment of God.
Which will happen again.
It'll happen again when it becomes full. You know,
believing that we will be gone.
Yeah, we'll be gone in the rapture of the church. But it's going to happen. It has to happen. God has to. See, He's already declared what's good and what's righteous. And
if He didn't, Billy, He'd be a respecter of persons, wouldn't He?
You're exactly right. And His word wouldn't be true.
Because He did. He wouldn't accept it from one generation, and for Him to accept it from another generation, He'd be a respecter of persons.
Gloria, that is a point. That is a big point. And I heard someone ask Billy Graham, will God judge the United States? And he said, if He doesn't, He's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, yeah.
If He doesn't judge these things now, then He's going to have to apologize. And He won't have to apologize. Now, you can live through a judgment. I mean, it doesn't mean the end of you, but He's going to judge these things. He's going to judge these wicked things wherever they are.
if you would get right.
It'd be better to get right right now. Get everything under the blood.
More advantageous.
Yes, absolutely. Bless the Lord. So, but you can remember, Gloria, remember in Genesis chapter 15 when Abraham and God cut a covenant, and he told, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and God said to him, this is Genesis 15, 13, he said unto Abram, know of a surety, your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. He was telling to Abraham, Abraham didn't even have any children yet, but he was telling him, you're going to have children as the stars in heaven, the sand of the sea. And he said, they're going to go down to another country, and they're going to be there 400 years. Well, that proved to be Egypt. And he said, that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. Will be judged on how they treated Israel. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. He says this to Abraham before Abraham even has one child. And you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried in good old age. But this is Genesis 15, 16. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. They're going to come up out of Egypt. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. The people in the land of Canaan, the promised land, their sin was not yet full enough for them to be cast out. But it got full enough. And when it got full enough, here comes Israel through the desert. Yeah. And they come to the promised land.
Now here's an awesome thought. Think about this. Think about even in our lifetime, yours and my lifetime, think about what things are accepted now that were awful, not accepted. If you did it, you were ruined in our lifetime.
Absolutely the truth.
And now,
it's exactly.
People just go right ahead, sin as though there were no God and no judgment.
Here's what the Chumash said about that, based on the Bible. There's a progression of sin. It begins in private when people still have a sense of right and wrong. That's why they hide it.
Yeah.
They had a sense of it when you and I were girls growing up. That's not right, so they hid it. But once people develop the habit of sinning, habit.
That's the key word, isn't it?
Habit.
It becomes norm.
They gradually lose their shame. And immoral behavior becomes the accepted.
Yeah.
Even the required norm. And that's how it is today. If you don't kill babies, something wrong with you in the mother's womb.
Said it all.
They used to, I mean, abortion was something, and they don't like this, nobody likes this, that people would go and hide to have. But you shouldn't be having it in the first place. I mean, you know. But then it becomes accepted. And now you and I have seen them on television talking about selling the parts of babies.
In our lifetime.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't, well, then there's some bad evil with you. So Noah, his three sons and their wives, and they get on an ark because this...
And they were it.
They were it.
They because were the only righteous people on
love
the
brought the flood. Judgment brings... love brings judgment. If he doesn't judge those things and get rid of them, there was only one family left with knowledge of God.
So if that family had gone, the earth would have been over.
It'd be over. And Satan would win. Because God had said, man shall have dominion over the works of my hands.
We're grateful to Noah.
Oh, we're grateful to Noah. So a treasure was carried in the ark.
Yes.
It was
humanity.
It was humanity.
Yeah.
It was mankind's knowledge of God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Noah and his family were the only humans on the planet Earth. Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japhet, left the ark with a tremendous respect for the living God and divine order. They knew the true God and worshiped Him. They had heard the voice of God. They witnessed the birth of the rainbow.
Thinking all that, how Noah stayed righteous.
Yeah.
Surrounded.
Now, there you have a thought.
Yeah.
Every human being on the earth was corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we fuss now.
We're grateful for Noah.
We fuss now about some, you know. Well, we see, you and I see, we people see. He didn't have one.
Mm-mm.
Now, his father was Methuselah. And, of course, Methuselah knew God. Met is Hebrew for death. And his name means at his death, judgment will come. So the rains really started. This is what we know from the Hebrew history.
When Met is Hebrew for Met.
Met.
Hebrew for
death.
Death.
So his name is Met.
Mm-hmm.
Methuselah. Think on
at
this when
death.
He. Yeah, think on this. At his death, judgment will come.
Mm.
So he died, and that's when the rain started to fall. He actually was living during the time that 120 years that Noah was building the ark. And when Methuselah died, of course, Noah would have had, you know, he would have had fellowship with his father. They lived a long time then. Methuselah lived longer. Think about it. I think he lived 969 years.
I think that's right.
Methuselah lived the longest of any man on earth because his name was given him at birth, and it said, at his death, judgment will come.
Mm-hmm.
So look how long God put off the judgment.
Opportunity,
giving people opportunity. 120 years. The ark, I suppose this could have magically appeared, but God gave them 120 years.
Now, do you think in those days that people were looking, knew that, and they were watching him?
Yes, it says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He preached it. He told them what God said.
So they knew what to expect.
You know what to expect?
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Sure is, girl.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. 15 seconds, I just got started.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.